This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint here. I'm all set up at Glacier Electric Cooperative here in Cut Bank. Whenever I'm on Highway 2, whenever I'm on the High Line, whether it's in Highway 2 in Kalispell, Highway 2 in Cut Bank, or Highway 2 back in Glasgow, I always feel at home on Highway 2 on the High Line. In fact, I remember, you know, one of my favorite quotes that a friend of mine had shared a long time ago was from actually former Democrat Senator Mike Mansfield. And you could say it one of two ways: never forget the High Line. I think the actual quote is, don't forget the High Line. He was quoted in the Hungry Horse News as saying a long time ago, back before he became the Senate Majority Leader, back before he became the ambassador to Japan. But words to live by. But we're here on the High Line. You know, I threw it out earlier this week. I said, hey guys, I'm going to be in Cut Bank on Thursday. Got a busy week because we're Malta Friday. We were in Helena yesterday. Who should we talk to while we're on the High Line in Cut Bank? And our good friend Tim and Savage says, hey, you got to get a hold of Dean Larum. Why didn't I think of that on my own? Dean Larum in the house. He's the Shelby football coach. He's a rancher north of Shelby. He's the vice president of the Marias River Livestock Association and 26 years as a sportscaster at KSEN Radio right here in the Golden Triangle. Dean, great to see you.
It's great to be here.
Oh, well, of course it is. You got all your Bobcat gear on. You were in Nashville. I'm sure you're happy to be anywhere right now.
I think I still got a little bit of jet lag coming. we were supposed to fly out at 7 o'clock Tuesday morning. I think there was a little bit of celebrating down in Nashville. And then they said, your flight's been delayed, so have another day in Nashville. That's not good idea.
Well, you know, I was talking because I went to the University of Montana, and so, you know, I'm a Grizz guy, but, you know, but man, we've got so many great Bobcat fans, and it's so fun to see this news for them. But you know, the Grizz got championships in 95 and 2001, and the Cats, they said, you know what, we're going to do something about this. And 41 years since their last national championship, They didn't only do something this year. They've built a program that we've been seeing over these past few years.
Hey, you know, I put a blog about that the other day, where this program, you know, it's probably started back, you know, Mike Kramer, he came in, kind of changed the focus of how money could be raised. President Cruzado, I would say, probably the most important
huge
part of that university.
For Dr. Cruzado.
She was there, and she got to celebrate also. They went, you know, with Jeff Choate, Rob Ash kind of cleaned up the program. Jeff Choate got the fire going. And I can say, Brent Vegan, he's a small-town guy out of North Dakota, and he has really put the tools together. And I'm happy for him as a person personally, but for the university, it's quite the deal to happen. For the state of Montana, bringing back the trophy, I think that's quite a deal.
Well, I remember I was at a wrestling tournament, I think, in Polson, and there's a wrestling tournament in Ronan later this week, too. And they shared the score over the loudspeaker when Illinois State took out North Dakota State. And everybody's like, that could be the national championship right there. A Montana team could win it all. But this was not an easy fight, though. If you thought Illinois State was going to be an easy fight, boy, man, that was a crazy game.
You know, they're a good, tough team. You know, when people say, well, they were unseeded, well, they played a pretty tough conference also. But when they were down two scores, they'd come back. Montana State, did they play their best game? No. But, you know, they did what they needed to do. But down at the end, my toes were through my shoes. It was the most intense time, you know, as just fans, but your emotions
crazy.
Go high and low.
I'm a UM guy, and I was on my feet for the final 5 minutes. Stand by.
It's January 8th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's National Joy Germ Day. It's a day that's created to remind everyone that being positive and treating one another with kindness can influence those around us, and they'll pass along the joy germ to others. So laugh, smile, and just be a little bit more kind to everyone you meet today. Also on this date, the first president, George Washington, delivered the nation's first State of the Union address in 1790. African-American men were granted the right to vote in Washington, D.C. in 1867, despite a veto by President Andrew Johnson. If it's your birthday today, you share it with the King of Rock and Roll, Elvis Presley, born in 1935. Renowned physicist, the late Stephen Hawking, who authored A Brief History of Time, was born in Oxford, England in 1942. And North Korean leader Kim Jong-un, born in 1983. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
The new year.
Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors.
Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe. Up.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Okay, I know we've got listeners in Missoula as well who are like, okay, Aaron, you know, we've been talking about the game all week long, but we got to confirm something here with Dean Larum. So, Dean, I had a story on our Montana Talks website. Did you guys actually drink Nashville out of beer? Did the Montana fans drink Nashville out of beer during the game weekend?
On game day, we walked up to what the Bobcat Bar was supposed to be, and it said closed due to the lack of beer. And I've never seen that. I mean, I'm a Highline guy. You saw it. The stadium ran out of beer during the game. Yeah, and I don't know. You hear about these things, and you'd see a sign, we're out of beer. And it was one of those things, very hospitable down there. You know, I saw a lot of North Dakota State fans down there. I saw some University of Montana fans down there. People had bought their tickets. But, you know, I'm going to be one of those guys. It's just a good place to go. I think they have it for one more year. Then it'll be put back to bid. But there wasn't one person I ran to who said, you know what? They took Nashville over Frisco every time.
Yeah. Well, that's, yeah, just incredible to watch, incredible to see. Speaking of football, let's talk local football here. I mentioned how you're not only a rancher and a sportscaster, but you're not going to be you're the Shelby football coach. You were telling me Shelby went from 8-man up to 11-man football. Usually it's the other way around. Usually these smaller towns are struggling with school enrollment. But really interesting, why Shelby is seeing this enrollment increase.
Shelby, on the interstate, the border's a lot more active up in Sweetgrass. That's one of the main major ports up there. More people working there. They have a prison there. But one of the things the local people tell me, they are the only 5-day-a-week school between Browning and Haver, and there's a lot of people, they want their kids to be in school 5 days.
Yeah, it kind of makes sense. A lot of people, you know, you're busy with work, or I think there's a lot of people out there that are also saying, look, kids have short enough attention spans as it is, and you try to pack too much into 4 days, and, you know, so I think, yeah, I could see where that desire to have your kids in school 5 days a week is enough for people to say, I'll drive them if I have to.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of that. I know people have drive their kids 30, 40 miles just for it's a good school program, but that's one of the reasons of the enrollment increase. The High School Association, they wanted to have more Class B schools. That was part of it. Well, down in the South and West, there's plenty of enrollment down there, so they start taking some of the 8-man teams, pushed the enrollment up just a hair, smidged, and they added 8 extra teams last year.
Interesting. So because of the population growth in the Southwest Montana, in the mountainous regions of Montana, or the more, shall we say, urban regions of Montana, they're like, hey, we need more Class B, because some of these other schools are bumping out of Class B. So that's very interesting that was part of the move as well.
Well, the number one, 6-man is the number one, that's, for enrollment. I think there's 56 teams there. Class B, 11-man, there's only 22 or 23.
Yeah. We're going to have a ton of fun here this morning. Great to have you. I know we've got some of the MSU Extension agents are going to drop by and join us talking agriculture and more. Senator Tim Sheehy, he's actually going to call my cell phone here in the second half of the show. We're going to get his take on Venezuela and everything going on that front as well. So, and then, of course, hey, if you're listening right now and you're in Cutbank, Shelby, Browning area, come down and see us. Earlier this morning, I had a great cup of coffee with Kay Webb Galbraith, who's the former water director for the Blackfeet Nation, rancher north of Browning, Blackfeet Nation member himself as well, and just a former Marine or a Marine Corps veteran, I shouldn't say former, Marine vet and a BIA law enforcement veteran as well. So just a fun conversation there. We got Bo Michael, who was featured in this Real Yellowstone documentary. He's a Blackfeet rancher north of Browning as well. He's going to join us, I think, next hour of the show.
So, that does sound like a good program.
Fun lineup. And then, of course, our friends here at Glacier Electric Cooperative, they keep the lights on for everybody up here. So we got to talk to them. They're gracious to host us here at Glacier Electric.
How'd you get up to Cutbank without any wind? I mean, it's beautiful and calm up here.
Well, I think it was at my back when I cut across from around Valier. I took that gravel road cut across to the Valier Road to Cutbank. That's the actual name of that road, by the way. I was looking at like Apple Maps just for fun to have a backup. I was like, is that really the name of this road? Did some farm kid in Valier screw with Apple Maps and give the... It's a really funny name, but I'm not going to use it on the radio. I will have the non-pearl clutchers clutching their pearls if I should. Or should I say it, Dean? Should I say it?
You might just say it.
The name of the road. This is freaking... So, you know, there's three ways you can take when you're driving to Cutbank from Helena, right? And I wanted to be right next to the mountains. So I did Augusta, Shodo. Then you go just past Valier, you take that gravel road. It's telling me, turn right on Molly's Nipple Road. Molly's Nipple Road, that's the name of the road? They're like, oh yeah, Kay Webby told me. That's the co-op manager, Dean, that's the name of the road. So I got to get the backstory on this one. I thought it was some farm kid screwing around with Google Maps or Apple Maps or whatever.
Bryce, husband probably named that. You probably got a little bit of trouble that night.
Yeah. Or he, you know, drank Nashville out of beer or something.
Might have just
the night
like that.
Before. Yeah. Anyway, that was hysterical. I literally took a picture. I took a screenshot of the dashboard on our little Montana Talks car that I was driving around, and I had Kid Rock's Cowboy playing at the same time. I thought that was kind of fitting.
With Kid Rock, yeah, you never know what's going to happen.
Oh, man. What else? We got about 30 seconds before the next break. What else is going on in the neck of the woods here that you think folks across Montana would want to hear about?
There's a lot of talk about, you know, the disaster program in the ag that's going to be coming here. And a lot of people, I talked with some bankers on my way over today. That's a huge thing right now. You know, the tariffs, President Trump is trying to get some money back to the agriculture sector. And he's doing it about as quick as anyone that he's probably going to do. No red tape. That's going to be probably the biggest thing.
Yeah. Get this aid out. Like, we've got to fight this fight so we get better trade agreements for our farmers. But in the midst of those fights, that can tinker with things. And so, yeah, big picture is we cannot allow these farms to fail, because once we lose these family farms, we may never get them back again. And so that's where the emphasis has got to be. All right, Dean, we'll look forward to talking more about that right after this. At Audio.
Tackling the issues that shape our state. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right back into it. We got a number of great guests. It's going to be a lightning round for the entire show here this morning, broadcasting live from Glacier Electric Cooperative here in Cutbank. Dean Larum sidekicking with me this morning, and Dean definitely jumping on the conversation with any and all of our guests here this morning as well. You are also the vice president of the Marias River Livestock Association, but this disaster assistance for our farmers, that's something I've been talking about, you know, kind of all year long, you know, going all the way back to especially conversations with the Montana Equipment Dealers Association that we had. You know, with your farm equipment guys, et cetera, back in October in Whitefish, that disaster assistance has now been kicked out. It doesn't sound like it's going to be enough, but it's still something. What are you hearing and seeing on the ground here?
The cost of production here locally, there's most of the farmers are losing $30 to $40 per acre. Money right now is tight. The bankers I've talked with, there's some hard decisions with people they have to make. Are they going to, you know, let them run another year or get a little deeper in the pocket? This will be a good time of the year for the money to come. You can start putting a little bit of money in your pocket for next year, 2026, and that's part of the problem. But a lot of people haven't paid off 2025 loans, and is it going to be just a Band-Aid? You know, they always start these programs like the last one. You know, they say it's going to be $12 billion, but when you pay 35 cents in the dollar, that really is not a true number there. All of a sudden, $3.5 billion are kicked out instead of $12 billion.
Yeah, very, very huge issue, and that's why it's so important to have these local bankers on the ground that you can go talk to face-to-face, right, and to try to work through a lot of this stuff. But, it's one of those things where it was crazy, because just a couple of years ago I was talking with the Montana Grain Growers Association earlier this year at the Farm Expo in Plentywood, and he pointed out that, you know, 2 years ago, for the first time basically ever, the United States had a trade deficit. You know, we were actually we were a net importer of foreign products. That's crazy.
It is.
And that was, under the previous administration that occurred.
Yeah, this administration, you know, they really got a lot of the votes from the agriculture sector. President Trump, they want to get Director Rawlins, wants to get money out to these producers, but a farm bill is the thing that's been really avoided. And that's really what needs to do. You need to get these price supports that are not 1972. They need to come into 2026 where the numbers are, you know, inflation, you know, that 4.5% every year. You don't change a farm bill for 20 years, all of a sudden you're behind the sector.
I mean, let's just be honest. No matter who is the president of the United States, no matter which party is back in Washington, there is a trade war. There is always it has been a trade war, and we can't allow our farmers to be casualties of that war. We've got to keep them in the fight because food security is American security, if you ask me.
You think about why the beef sector is doing so well. We've taken away a lot of the importing of the beef, and we're trying to do it local. You know, people are going, are we paying too much? The beef sector, a little bit nervous. Are we outpricing ourselves? Well, your cost of production, you're right where you need to be.
All right. Well, let's check in with some of our great guests that are joining us here for our live show from Cut Bank. I reached out to the Cut Bank Chamber of Commerce. I said, hey, who would be somebody great to talk to while we're doing our live statewide show? And thankfully, they linked us up here with the former mayor of Cut Bank, Kim Winchell, who's also a business owner here in town as well. Kim, great to see you, and thanks so much for joining us here on the show.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Well, tell folks across Montana what all is happening in Cut Bank, or what are you excited about here, especially as a former mayor?
I think, you know, the fun thing about Cut Bank is coming into the wintertime, there's a lot of classes going on. We have our first Friday classes where you can sign up and learn how to do a new craft or art making pasta from scratch. So I think in Cut Bank, we work really hard to keep things happening in the depths and the colds of wintertime. So,
yeah, it was, first off, the big dietary guidelines was big in the news yesterday. Now steak and butter is at the top of the new food pyramid. I had a good steak with butter last night here in Cut Bank. But walking around, there's a mercantile that just got a big Made in Montana award, I think, last year. So, and then ton of cool art shops right there as well. So it's just kind of fun just popping in and walking around. You were telling me something that you're a part of is, you know, when I think about, like, when my mother-in-law comes to visit, you know, whether it's Kalispell or when we were in Billings, you know, one of the first stops is always, like, the fabric store.
Right.
Like, this is huge here in Montana.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, one of the first things I did ending my term as mayor is took back my time for my own. And I started hosting a Yarned and Dangerous class where you can come in for free and crochet, knit, embroider, anything. And the really great thing about that is we have a newer quilt store in town called Quilt Tappan. And so she started carrying yarn, knowing that that was something that people were starting to come in for. So that's been kind of a fun thing to take my time back and then be supporting a local business. As you mentioned, we have a lot happening in Cut Bank. We've got two drive-through coffee shops. We've got a sit-down coffee shop. And then we have our marketplace on Main, which is a Made in Montana gift shop. But a lot of their products are local to Glacier County, too. So they are really huge in support.
A lot of the meat in the cooler was from Valier, so that was fun to see.
Stick Lake Ranch, I think, is there.
Yep, that's right, yeah. Dean, Yarned and Dangerous. I'll bet even a rancher like you, you're like, okay, boys, that sounds a little too dangerous for us. I'm going to stay away from that one, you know.
We have a good time.
You know, you say yarn, I say duct tape. It both can fix the same thing.
So you've actually got Barb Claiborne here with us. Tell us about her shop, and then she can talk a little bit more as well. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I'm not a quilter. I do different kinds of crafts, but I mean, I'll let Barb take it. She opened up her store.
Yeah, Barb, great to see you. How's it been going? Tell us about your shop and how it's been going so far.
Hi. It's been going really well. I've only been open for 6 months, and I've already expanded into carrying yarn and crochet and knitting supplies and ribbon for ribbon skirts and a lot of the different accessories that go with ribbon skirts. I can't think of what they're called right now.
That's all right. Yeah.
And then I also teach a lot of the classes, and I attend Yarned and Dangerous. And so then I host the classes on First Fridays also and teach some art things. And we do a lot of community things in our quilt shop too.
So, you know, just like Dean came, he lives north of Shelby, came over today. We had, you know, a rancher from north of Browning come down and join me earlier. We got another one from north of Browning. You know, that's about an hour drive for Bo Michaels, who's going to join us next hour of the show to come. But that's just normal around mm-hmm. here. You know, yeah. Cutbank, Browning, Shelby, you know, it's... Yeah, okay, yeah, I'll pop over. You know, that's our drive. Yeah, I'll pop in. But the point being is that, like, people travel from the whole area. You know, that's why the you know, kids might be going to school in Shelby for 5 days a week school. But that being said, like, people are coming from all over anyway. And now they got a fabric store they can go mm-hmm. to locally. It's got to be doing pretty well.
Yeah, I get people. I've had people from Haver, Fort Benton, Great Falls all the time, Conrad. They come out from Babb, Browning. So they come out to shop or to even take the classes.
And then you get a steak at the same yeah. time while you're at it as well. Yeah.
Well, and
yeah.
I'm located inside the Northern Village Mall, and the village is right there.
Oh, sure. So, yeah, that's great. I bet you catch up with some fun people. My mother-in-law has this, like, big old sewing machine that's used to help when you're building the quilts.
Yep, for the long arm.
Yeah, there you go. That's yep. what it is. I call it Grandma's sweatshop that she's got at her house there, you know. Because, so, of course, you know, hey, Grandma, can you do this? Can you do that? Right. But no, this is big business in Montana. I mean, there are so much of the ladies that just love this stuff, and they will. It is a destination to go find a fabric yeah. shop.
Yeah. And I get a lot of people that travel through in the summer, too. I met people from Florida and Texas and Washington State this summer.
Especially in the tourist season. Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, when you're
yeah.
talking about, you get 2 million people go to Glacier Park. You
exactly.
guys are 60 miles
yep.
away. Cutbank's getting to be a destination. That's the key to the highlight. Mm-hmm. You need to be a destination for a town to stay vital.
That's right. Yep. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. What else do you want to tell folks all across Montana? First, Barb Claiborne, and then former Mayor Kim Winchell as well.
I love my job, and so I love my quilt shop, and I want to try and expand. So I'm hoping to have everything completely online within 6 months. So even if you don't live around here, you can still shop and support us and visit online.
Very cool. Still, you know, shopping locally and supporting local stuff is still where it's at, because the retail Absolutely. Businesses are what, you know, keep a lot of these towns up and rolling. Former Mayor Kim Winchell, yeah, anything else you want to share, or exciting things happening with the Chamber of Commerce, anything like that?
I think with the Chamber right now, we are gearing up for our annual banquet, which is an awards banquet where you get to go online and nominate the best of for Cutbank, so best public worker, best bartender, best medical professional. A little plug for the Glacier Community Health Center, our dentist, yeah. Dr. Kennedy, she won for a best medical provider last year, so we're really proud of that.
Very good. Yeah, talk yeah. about rural health. I know we only got a minute or so to yeah. go here, but talk about rural health and what you're doing at the Community Health Center.
Yeah, so at the Glacier Community Health Center, I help people specifically enroll and navigate marketplace health insurance, expanded Medicaid, and Medicare. Our clinic is right down on Main Street. We have medical, dental, behavioral health. We have a pharmacy. We have slight EQ discount. But for rural access to health care in Montana, we also have Logan Health, a critical access hospital, and another clinic up on the hill. So there's a lot of really good health access here in the community. And with the, like you were saying, the 2 million people traveling through here, gosh, I mean, Cutbank is definitely a place that you want to stop. We're 45 minutes from East Glacier. We've got restaurants, coffee shops, places to do some shopping for Made in Montana items. We've got hardware store. I mean, you name it, we've pretty much got it here at Cutbank.
It's really scenic, too. I mean, the view when you look down at that big ravine. I remember coming here as a little kid. We had family living here at the time, cousins and stuff. And I just remember just being blown away by just the steepness and the view of that alone. And then, of course, you get to Glacier and you see the mountains yeah. and everything. It's incredible.
Yeah. Both ends of Cutbank have something to stop for. On the east side of town, we have a two-story penguin, which is definitely a photography stop. And on the west side of town, we've got the Cutbank Creek and a trestle bridge, and it's a sight to see.
That
in
it
between
is
Cutbank, and there's a lot to do here, so stop.
Great to have both of you on the show. Thanks so much
Thank
for
you.
Coming
Thank
down
you.
To join us. All right, quick break. I think we're going to get a phone call from Senator Tim Sheehy coming up here right after this.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, you know, I'm on the road for most of this week. We were Helena yesterday, Cutbank today, Malta tomorrow. But so we're going to have a number of great guests that are joining us in all these locations. But we still want to get to the big news of the day as well. So it's great to sneak in a relatively quick phone call in here from U.S. Senator Tim Sheehy. Senator, great to have you on the show. I'm here with by the way, right after you, I've got some great MSU Extension agents with us. So a number of raspy-voiced potential folks who were cheering pretty loudly. You were actually at the game on Monday night. You know, you grew your business and raising your family in the Bozeman area. What was it like being at the game first before we get to the big news?
It was incredible. I mean, look, I think whether you're a Cat or a Grizz fan, I think we all want a Montana team to win on the national stage. And I mean, that was a game for the history books. And being a Naval Academy grad, Army-Navy game is my most important game of the year. But, man, this game was just a nail-biter all the way to the end. I mean, everyone across the country is watching that game. So it was incredible. It was made me super proud. At times, the Bobcats, I think, were trying to give us a run for our money with some pretty funny plays and obviously getting it tied up at the end. But, man, it was a win for the ages, and it was electric to be in that stadium when we pulled off the W.
Yeah, when I get back to Dean Larum, who's the Shelby football coach, he was at the game. We've got a funny story to talk about to talk about on that front here in a few minutes. But, you know, Evan Inbelt, who's an Air Force veteran, I thought he had the best summary of the news this week. He said that special teams came in for the win. Special teams came in for the win, blocking those kicks for the national championship football game. But what about the special teams from our United States military and the takedown of narco-terrorist dictator Nicolai Maduro?
That was an incredible mission, Aaron. And you know, I think any of us from the special ops community would have donated any non-vital organ to be on that mission, because that was one that's just historic. And, you know, all of us did a lot of great operations in Iraq, Afghanistan. I had one deployment to South America myself, but that mission was just such an epic coordination of all assets that we had. And, you know, a lot of it's out there in the public, a lot of it's still classified. What I can tell everybody is you know, the level of coordination and professionalism it took. It was a tough mission. This wasn't, I did some snatch and grabs in my time where luckily we got in and out without, but this was a gunfight from start to finish. It was an air to ground fight. And these guys, from the time their boots hit the ground, the time they were out of there, I mean, they were in a running gunfight. We took no killed, a couple of casualties and wounded, nothing serious. And we carried out one of the greatest special operations missions in history.
That certainly seems to be the case, and freedom is on the march across Latin America, South America, et cetera, Argentina, Chile, Bolivia. Now this, what could happen next? Could it be Iran? Could it be Cuba? But from a Montana First perspective, this matters to Montana. I mean, Shelby is right down the road from us right now. They had Trinidad Aragua suspects arrested, illegal aliens from Venezuela that were being harbored in Shelby, Montana.
100%. I mean, TDA has been, and all, frankly, tentacles of the Venezuelan regime have been incredibly destabilizing and damaging to America for the last 20 years. Tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of Americans have been killed by the fentanyl drugs and the violence brought to us by these Venezuelan actors. And these weren't accidental criminal groups that happened to show up here. This was intentional destabilization by the Chavez and subsequently Maduro regimes. And in addition to that, Aaron, what Venezuela did and how it positioned itself as a money launderer for all the rogue regimes and terrorist groups around the world, from Hamas to Hezbollah to Houthi rebels to Russia to China, that this literally was a giant gaping sore of evil just south of us, and tens of thousands, about hundreds of thousands of American lives have been taken by that regime. So for folks that are wondering why we're getting involved in these, when they say, man, Trump was, you know, non-interventionist, America First, there's nothing more America First than going after and killing the people who are killing our people. Kill them first before our people get killed. And we've stood by for far too long and let American citizens and American communities be torn apart by these Venezuelan terror groups it's about time we nip it in the bud, and that's exactly what we did.
Well, I know a number of people are also asking what's next, because, you know, nobody wants to see a Iraqi-style coalition provisional authority or something like that, right?
Of course, and I think rightfully so, Americans have a level of skepticism about our ability to go in and nation build. And listen, no, Aaron, no one more than you and I knows that. We served there. We're boots on the ground during those eras, and there were absolutely tremendous amount of mistakes made and blood, sweat, and treasure lost as a result. But this is nothing like that. But we have not swept an entire regime and taken over the country. We've seized an indicted criminal, a bipartisan indicted criminal, by the way, something that we and other nations around the world have done for years, from Manuel Noriega in Panama to the personnel indicted for war crimes in the 1990s as we seized leadership of Eastern European countries who were committing genocide across their nations. This has been a targeted capture of a criminal. His government is still in place with very serious guardrails from our government. The quarantine is still in place to restrict their ability to sell oil and finance drug cartels and illicit regimes. And we're going to put guardrails around that government until such time as elections can be held. As you know, last year, I should say in 2024, they did hold elections and elected a new government, which was then promptly exiled by Maduro. So there's going to be an orderly transition of power here. Venezuela is not Iraq. It's not Afghanistan. These are very different nations with different power structures in place. Venezuela does have an amazing plethora of natural resources. They actually do have fundamentals. They have an amazing economy like they used to. There's a time when Venezuela was one of the greatest economies in the world. And of course, the socialist dictators drove it into the ground. So I think what we've seen here from the Iranian strikes earlier this year, last year from this administration to the Venezuela operations, we're seeing some really common sense America first foreign policy that's muscular at the same time. And it's sending a message to all these regimes who've made a business out of killing Americans and harming our interests for the last two decades. There's a new sheriff in town, and I think it's an exciting time, and it's a good time for the American people.
Absolutely remarkable. Senator Tim Sheehy, yeah, great to hear from you this morning. I know I'm busy today in Cutbank. We got a number of great guests, but we got to get you back on the show maybe as early as next week so we can talk at more length, sneak some phone calls in as well. Always great to get your insight. Thanks so much for joining us here this morning.
All right, thanks, Aaron. Drive safe up there. See everyone hide him for me on the High Line.
I will. You got it for sure. Yeah, greatly appreciated. Back to it. Dean Laram, we were talking about the game, and, he was talking about how exciting it was to be there. And let's see. One of my good friends, she actually married a kid from Sunburst, my friend Dustin Frost. His wife, Stacy, calls them the Heart Attack Cats because she's a cat fan. There actually were paramedics that got called on the field after that game, weren't there?
Yeah, after the game, we were leaving, and we saw two people getting carted off that were out the field. And, you know, me, I always have to ask what the heck's going on. And I went to the paramedic and goes, heart attacks. That's what they had, minor heart attacks. They looked, they stabilized them there, but
they're good to go.
I didn't want my heart was pounding there, and I'm probably at the age I shouldn't be climbing down on the field either.
It's literally no joke. They were the heart attack cats, not just figuratively, but literally for some people in Nashville. Yeah, crazy. Well, now we've got a couple of other great guests that are joining us here this morning as well. Always fun to run into Kim Woodring, right? Did I say your last name right there?
Yep, you
okay,
did.
Good. Yes, because she is the Toole County Extension Agent for MSU Extension. And when we had all the extension agents, they did a big national convention in Montana recently, and so she popped in. But you went to Montana State University with my cool cowboy cousins and cowgirl cousin, I should add. And so I know you were having a good time on Monday night.
Yeah, absolutely. Nashville was crazy. Everywhere you went, there were Bobcat fans, and I think just the vibes of being downtown and being close to the stadium there was incredible. Like, Frisco was cool, but Nashville was awesome.
Yeah, Nashville, what a great music town, live music and more. So she's the Toole County Extension Agent. We've also got Carrie Lewis, who is the Glacier County Extension Agent. And Carrie, great to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, since we're in your county right now, we're close to Toole County, but we're in Glacier County. Give us kind of, with about 1 minute before the next break, give us the scene setter for what is ag in Glacier County.
Ag is pretty much the foundation of Glacier County, of course, along with oil and gas and education as well. But a lot of wheat, barley, pulse crops, cattle, dry land, hay production. It's a pretty tough climate, but it's a great place to take that short grass prairie and turn it into high-quality protein for the American consumer. So.
You know, you mentioned oil and gas, and yeah, as I was on the Valier Road heading north into Cutbank, and right when you get up on top of the hill, you can see the oil wells right there. I remember when I was a little kid driving through, you know, maybe heading up to Lethbridge or something, there's a time you wouldn't see those oil wells pumping. They were pumping.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you talk about Sunburst and the Frost family, and Sunburst Refiners right there, so that's the mascot. So.
Yeah, yeah. Of course, his dad, Rod, a lot of folks here know Rod Frost, what a great guy he is as well. Okay, quick break. We're going to talk more ag, and Dean Larum definitely jump in on this conversation as well, because Dean Larum's here sidekicking with us, and he is the vice president also of the Marias River Livestock Association. Quick break here with Montana Talks, and then we got a whole bunch of great folks that are going to join us in the 9 o'clock hour coming up as well, including our friends here at Glacier Electric Cooperative in Cutbank.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
All of this frenzy has been whipped up by these reckless politicians, these sanctuary state city politicians that do not enforce laws of our country and have created an environment where the radicals pretty much control everything. There's no law. There's no order. No, they are aiding and abetting in the law breaking. At some point, we have got to ask ourselves why sanctuary city mayors, why sanctuary state governors are not held responsible for aiding and abetting and offering aid and comfort to those people that have clearly broken our laws.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Listen, if you're still suffering from the Biden-Harris economic hangover and you need to save money, one way you can do it without sacrificing service, you can do it right now, and that is cutting your cell phone bill in half. Make the switch to my cell phone provider, a veteran-owned company, Pure Talk, for just $20 a month. They will give you unlimited talk and text, 3 gigs of high-speed data on Pure Talk, super-fast, nationwide 5G network, the same exact service, and you save a fortune. The average family saves over $1,000 a year. A veteran-led company that shares your values. They believe in giving back to those that serve our great country. And by the way, if you're active military, former military, first responder, you get an additional 20% off every single month. Make the switch. It's simple, fast, easy. Dial #250. Say the keyword save now from our friends at Pure Talk. Pure Talk, America's wireless company.
Fox Country.
I'm Michelle Polino. Garth Brooks has more in store for fans in 2026. The country music superstar shared an explosive Instagram stories post teasing a busy year ahead. The graphic included fireworks with a music bed and read, "New Year, New Music, New Tour." It also led to Brooks' website, where it read in part, quote, "I'm an entertainer, so I have to take the music to the people." It went on to say Brooks will be at Milwaukee Summerfest June 16th and 17th, then in London, where he'll be joined by special guests Ashley McBride and Zach Brown Band. He mentions his wife Trisha Yearwood on tour and ends it teasing new music, new dates, and endless possibilities ahead. And the marriage of Keith Urban and Nicole Kidman has officially ended. Kidman was designated the primary parent to the couple's two minor daughters. Urban will have parenting time every other weekend, unless otherwise stipulated. That's Fox Country on Fox News.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Dean Larum, why don't you kick off the next conversation here? I know we only got a few minutes left here this hour of the show, but, you know, you're in agriculture. You live up here. You're the vice president of the Livestock Association up here. What question or topic would you bring up for our extension agent folks here?
Oh, you know, you talk about agriculture. You know, we're always talking about the next year's crop. And I think from the association, Marias River Livestock Association, we always say our best crop is our young people. That's the people. And these extension agents, Kim and Carrie, they are the greatest. And I've had work with them through 4-H and stuff. But they're put on a conference, a statewide conference called the Next Generation. So, Kim, we'll take it right to you right now. How many years has this Next Generation been?
Oh, gosh. Carrie would answer that question for me.
Well, I think 2014 was the first year. So we're probably 12, 13 years in. So.
And when you talk about this next generation, this isn't just a bunch of locals. You got people from Glendive all the way from Miles City coming over here. And just talk a little bit about how you guys came up with this idea.
You know, it's been, of course, over 12, 13 years ago. And so some folks before us, but really a collaboration between Marias River Livestock Association and MSU Extension, Farm Service Agency, different lenders of how do we keep the next generation in business? How 10, 20, 30 years down the road do we make sure that we have farmers and ranchers that are profitable? The lifestyle in farming and ranching is great, but you don't pay bills with lifestyle. You pay bills with profit. So how do we help make these folks profitable, and how do we help that succession process so that people can have the conversations of how do we bring the next generation back? How do we navigate all of that estate planning as well?
And when you talk about succession planning, you know, estates, you know, we've changed some different tax laws, number one. Number two, but talk about that's the worst conversation that you can have at a ranch right now is how are we going to pass on the next generation?
Certainly. And there's so many things that aren't said, they aren't written down, and that can cause so many difficulties down the road. Probably everybody can think of a neighbor or a family member where that process didn't go well. And so every year, this just seems like a great opportunity to get it in front of people. It's a lot easier to bring grandma and grandpa to a conference and have them sit in it than try to start the conversation yourself at Thanksgiving. So it's just a really good opportunity to bring the whole family.
And you guys start with some basic bookkeeping. There's some classes like that, but then you go to some high tech stuff, Kim. I mean, you got someone coming in with some fencing where you don't have to actually put a fence up.
Yeah. I think my favorite thing about the Next Generation Conference is that we get to showcase a lot of the cool things that our friends are doing around the state. Our friend Tyrell Obrick out of the Turner area is bringing his virtual fencing that he does on his operation, and he'll communicate that with our audience. And I think that's a really great way to show them that don't be afraid of technology. Like, you can use it on your operation too.
Well, I've told the kids on my place, technology, this is Dean Lamb's year, 2026. And they all looked at me and I go, you still have a bag phone probably.
Are they trying to work dad out of a job? Is that what the technology
I've been trying to look for that for a long time, yeah. Aaron, but yeah. It is good for someone like me. You know, I'm called an old dog, but you see a lot of people, there's a lot of gray hair at this Next Generation Conference.
Yeah, we call it the Next Generation Conference, but it really is like your grandpa's grandma's, and you can bring your kids. There's a daycare service. Like Carrie said, bring the whole family.
Well, I love what Carrie had to say there too about, you know, turning over, because if we're going to keep these family farms and ranches in operation, you got to figure out a way to turn it over to the next generation, and that can break down into anger and chaos and rip apart families. So it's kind of like the St. Mary's Water Project. We waited until the whole thing failed to finally fix it, even though don't wait for something to fail to then focus on a fix, because it may not end well. So this sounds like a really good way to get that conversation going and get a plan going, and not just keep your family farm or ranch together, but keep your family together afterwards as well.
Yeah. So what are the dates, and can you still register?
Absolutely. So it's Saturday, January 31st at the Shelby High School. And, you know, most of these conferences in Montana, you have to go to Bozeman or Billings or some big city. And so we really said, how do we make this work in north central Montana so that folks can go feed cows and still come? So we start off about 8:30 in the morning, and just a one-day event. All the meals are provided. Like Kim said, we have on-site daycare. It's just $25 a person or $45 for two people, which is phenomenal. For all the information you get, we have accountants, we have lawyers, we have all sorts of professionals that if you want to go sit in their office, it's
right here. It's coming to you. All right, we got to hold it right there. Quick break. Back with Montana.